Hallelujah. Our Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace that is enough for us. Thank you for mighty miracles you have done in our lives. Thank you for breakthroughs you have given to us on every side. Thank you for your light that is shining upon our souls to give us transformation, deliverances. Thank you for your light that is exposing the works of darkness going on in our lives. Thank you for what your light is doing in us, showing us the truth and showing us your way, teaching us to get rid of what you do not want in our lives. Oh God, be praised forever in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness toward every one of us in this ministry. Thank you, Father, for how you have been helping us to overcome temptations. Thank you for how you have been taking good care of us. Thank you for how you have been meeting us at the point of our needs. Thank you for the presence and ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you for giving us spiritual growth. Thank you for blessing us with divine wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Thank you, Father. Lord, I am asking that as we will be having another Bible study class this evening, let your spirit teach us again your ways and your truth. Speak through me to everyone that will be listening, and let every soul be blessed. Let every soul, every heart be edified, and let your name alone be glorified. Thank you, Father, because I know you shall do wonders. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence, and I believe that what he wants you to know through this teaching, even the teaching of today, you shall know them all in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember that we have started a new topic, which I call it building a strong relationship with God. And I'm going to continue from where we stopped during the last teaching class. Remember that I was talking, I was on point two, which says how we show our love for God. And then under that point two, we have point A, that says by loving and obeying his word. We have another point that says by worshiping him in prayer. We have another point that says by loving one another. So I'm going to move to point D, which is by listening to his voice. Yeah, we show our love for God by listening to his voice. Yeah. And of course, showing your love for God or loving God is how you grow. Is how you grow in him, and it's how you grow spiritually. And of course, it's how you can build up a strong relationship with him. So how do we show our love for God? Another point is by listening to his voice. Yeah, some people are of the opinion that God speaks all the time. Yeah, some people believe that God is speaking every hour, every moment, every day, every second that God is speaking. I'm not saying that is wrong. Of course, God is speaking all the time. But what I know is that God is not a radio. God is not a radio or a robot machine that has been programmed to always talking. That is not who God is. God speaks when we are ready to listen. He speaks when there are people who seek to hear from him. Not that he's just speaking non-stop like a radio station. That is not God. The God that I know speaks to those who are ready to listen to him. Those who seek him. Those are those that will hear him. So that's the first thing I want you to know. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 9 to 10, you will see where Eli was talking to Samuel. He said, "If he called thee again, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." God was visiting Samuel, and the high priest Eli told him that if he call on you again, reply by saying, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." God was calling Samuel because he wanted to begin a relationship with him, a very powerful and unique relationship. But if you look at that verse, God did not just jump into the details. God didn't just start talking. He first of all want to win over the heart of Samuel. He wants Samuel to come to the place of surrenderness to him. He wants Samuel to also be so much interested to listen. He wants Samuel to consider that he is a servant. He is a servant and he is God. So this is how we hear from God. You can't hear from God with a arrogant heart, with a prideful heart. You hear from God with a humble heart. And with so much hunger, with a heart that really wants to hear. That is how you hear from God. So God wants Samuel to come to the point where he is willing to hear and where he is humble enough to hear. That was why God kept on calling him. God did not just jump to details. And thank God for Eli. He was able to perceive that God must be calling this boy. Now, when he calls you again, tell him that he should speak, that you, his servant, is listening. So God will speak to those that are ready to listen. Now, another thing I have discovered is that it is possible for you to have your ears opened and to have your heart closed. It is possible that your ears, your physical ears is opened, but your heart, the ears of your heart is closed against God's voice. It's possible that the ears of your heart is deaf against God's voice, though the ears of your body is open. Yeah, that is why another place where I think it's in Matthew 13, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, where the disciples came to ask Jesus why he always speak to them in parables. He always speak to the people in parables. And Jesus said that they have ears, but they cannot listen. They have eyes, but they cannot see. Yeah. So if you want God to speak to you, then you have to listen. Yeah, you have to have a heart, a listening heart. You have to have a listening heart, a heart that listens to God. So, and thank God, Samuel, you know, was able to listen. Now, when I say that it's possible for your physical ears to be opened, whereas your spiritual ears is deaf, what I mean is that your heart is very important to, or maybe I should say the state of your heart is very important to hearing from God. You know, because of who God is, when God is engaging with a man, whether in a conversation, when God is engaging with you from his presence, he discerns the depths of your heart. In the process, if God, for instance, if God stands before you right now, looking at you, God is not looking at your physical appearance, and before he will consider how your face look like, he already screened out your heart and everything in your heart. Yeah. So when God is engaging with a man face to face, he starts from his heart. So when God have discerned the hearts, your heart, for instance. When God have discerned your heart, and he discovered that in your heart there is no love for him, even though you profess to love him. So when he discerns your heart, and then he discovered that in your heart you don't really care about his will. All you care about is your own will. So when you look at your heart and discover that in your heart you consider many other things more important than the things of his kingdom, than the things that pertains to, you know, to God, then God might not speak to you further. And if he will speak to you, there are things he will not tell you, because according to him, you are not ready to hear those things. So to hear from God, your heart, the state of your heart is so important. So there are some people that you know, they draw closer to God, not because they love God, not because they want to follow him, not because they want to please him, not because they want to obey him. They draw closer to God just because they know God is powerful, and because they know his power can do miracles, and because they know that He can solve certain problems in their lives. So they just draw closer to God because of the miracles they want to receive from God. Not because they really want, not because they really love, they love God. Let me not even put really, they don't love God. What they want is, what can I get from God? Not, how can I live for God? Not how can I please God? Not how can I know God? But the state of their heart is, what can I get from God? Yeah, so when those people come closer to, you know, when they come closer to God, God judged them instantly. So according to God, the years of their heart is you know, is dead or deaf. So they can't hear him and he can't speak to them. Yeah, because their motive is wrong. So if at all those people will hear from God, it will be according to what they want from him. God will not be sincere with them. God will not talk to them plainly. That was why Jesus was talking to them in parables. It was because of the state of their heart. So unlike when Jesus was talking to the disciples, he was talking to them very clearly and very plainly. But when he was talking to the multitudes, he was talking to them in parables because of the state of their heart, because they are not willing to obey God. So they are not ready for God. They are not ready to please God. So it's just the miracles that is attracting them, the signs and wonders. But to really follow God in faith, to follow God in truth and righteousness, those people, they don't want. So Jesus could see through their heart. He could see into their heart. And that is why he starts speaking to them in parables. So it is important that your heart is right before you will hear anything from God. I know some of you might want to ask questions like, but we have people that could hear from God, all the time. We have some prophets, they're always hearing something from God. Well, I don't know if I'll go into that details now. But maybe I already mentioned the answer to that kind of question. Yeah, some people might tell you that it's not hard to hear from God, and you know, they can tell you that they can train you to hear from God, and that you can always hear from God in any time, irrespective of the state of your heart, or irrespective of the kind of whether you live a life that is holy or not. Maybe they are right, because there are many kinds of gods. Before you reach the place where the Almighty God is seated in heaven, there are many gods on the road, on the way, before you reach where the Almighty God, the God of Israel, is. So you can hear from many of those gods in the second heaven and think you are hearing from God. As a matter of fact, many of those gods, they know how to imitate the Almighty God a lot. So that is why some people, they are living in sin, and they are still saying they are hearing from God. So I used to wonder what kind of God is speaking to them. Yeah, which of the gods is speaking to them? Yeah, because to hear from the Almighty God, your heart must be right. Yeah, your heart must be right. Yeah, maybe later we still talk in depth on hearing from God. But for tonight, just know that that you can easily be deceived when it comes to hearing from God. You can easily be deceived if your heart is not right as you are seeking to hear from God. If your heart is not pure, if your heart is full of pride, if your heart is not willing to obey God, you can't hear from God. You can hear a voice that will look like voice of God, but you can't hear from God. Yeah, just keep that in your mind as we continue. Maybe another time I can prepare a teaching on hearing from God, maybe after, because it's very important to building a strong relationship with God. Hearing His voice is, to me, is one of the most important things in building a strong relationship with Him. So I will still prepare a teaching that will deal with that. But know that the state of your heart is very important to hear from God. And what He will speak to you will be determined by the kind of heart that is in you. Yeah. That is if He will speak to you at all. The state of your heart will determine what He will tell you. And it will determine what He cannot tell you. Yeah. So let's move on. In Psalm 143 verse 8 is also saying the same thing. It says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness. Psalm 143 verse 8. And then in Isaiah chapter 50 verse 5. Says, the Lord hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious. I was not rebellious. So take note of that. Yeah, to be rebellious means that you are acting. You are acting against God's command with arrogance. Yeah, you are acting against His command. You are acting in disobedience, and you are not willing. You don't even feel remorseful about it. You don't feel sorry about disobeying Him. You are acting against His will arrogantly. You feel like, what will He do? Can He do anything to me? Yeah, I can do what I like. I can disobey God if I like. Yeah, that is to be rebellious. And God cannot speak to people like that. Definitely, He can't. Yeah. Point he under how we show our love for God. Point he says, by obeying, following, and serving Him. By obeying, following, and serving Him. Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 12 to 13 says, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to serve Him, to keep the commandments of the Lord, to serve Him. So you worship God, you develop a strong relationship with God, you show your love for God by serving him. So what does it mean to serve God? To serve God is to please him, but this time your body is involved. This time your possession is involved. Yeah, to please God with your body, to please God with your actions, to please God in your actions, in your activities, and then to please God with your possession, with your resources. Yeah, that is what serving God means. Serving God means that you and everything you have and everything you are, surrender to God practically. Yeah, that's what serving God is. Not that you only serve him in the spirit, you know, when you pray and worship him, but now you involve yourself, your body, you involve everyone in your family, you involve everything you have and everything you have. So you make everything that pertains to your life surrender to his will. That is what it means to serve God. Yeah, meaning that when God gives the command, you do it immediately. Meaning that you are not lazy when it comes to obeying God's command. You are not lazy. Everything he wants you to do, you are doing it. Yeah, that is serving God. Everything he wants you to do, practically with your body, you are doing it. Both for your own spiritual development and also for the good of others. So every time you are fasting, you are serving God. Yeah. Every time you are studying the Bible, you are serving God. Every time you are praying, you are serving God. Now, every time you pray for people, you are serving God. Every time you study the Bible and what you have learned, you share with people, you are serving God. Every time you care about the souls of those that are living in sin, those that are living under the bondage of darkness, and you make efforts to reach out to them, to preach the gospel to them, you're serving God. Yeah, so serving God has a lot to do with the practicals. It has a lot to do with practicing righteousness. Not just saying, I love God in my heart, just in your heart. But you're not showing anything you're not showing any practical thing that you love God. Yeah. Yeah, so it's beyond what the state of your heart. Serving God goes beyond the state of your heart, meaning that you have to show physically that you are serving God. It has to show in your speech, the way you talk. It has to show in your dressing. It has to show in your lifestyle. It has to show in your attitude, in your behavior. It has to show in evangelism. It has to show in intercessions, praying for others. So it has to show in your giving. It has to show in every area of your life. It has to show in your marriage that you are serving God. And you are not serving marriage. Some people are serving marriage. They are not serving God. Some people are serving their husband. They are not serving God. Yeah. Some people are serving the children. They are not serving God. So serving God has to show in everything. And what are you going to show? You're going to show show in your actions that God is the Lord over your life. You're going to show in your actions that the will of God must be done in every area of your life. You're going to show in your action that the commandments of God must be obeyed. must be satisfied, that the desires of God must be satisfied in every area of your life. So you have to show these things in your action. That is what serving God means. Any other thing outside of that is not serving God. So because today we have many Christians, they say, God sees my heart, I love God in my heart. I know God in my heart. Yeah, just in your heart. What about in your action? What about in the way you talk? Can we say you are serving God with the way you talk with people? Can we say you are serving God with in your behaviors? Yeah, in your attitude? Yeah, so that is what it means to serve God, brethren. Yeah, also in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14, it says, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Sincerity means that you are dealing with God from a pure heart. It means you are dealing with God from from a heart that is not deceitful. Yeah, that's what it means to be sincere. It means that you what you have before God is what you have. Like the way you present yourself to God is actually the way you really are. That's what sincerity is. It's not that you're trying to hide some part of you and you are showing God another part of you. I don't know how to explain it. Like, there's a part of you that is after something else, and then there's another part of you that is trying to appear before God. There's another part of you that you leave. Maybe let's say, for instance, you are going to church, then you leave a part of you at home, and then you go to church to show another part of you. So meaning that when you come out of church, you come back to pick up that part of you that you left at home. So that is not sincerity. Yeah, when what you are saying is different from what is in your heart. Yeah, you don't mean what you say, and you don't say what you mean. That is not sincerity. And those kind of people cannot serve God. And God hates those kind of people. Yeah, so I'll deal with question after the teaching. Yeah. So the point is that we must serve God with a sincere heart. So meaning that if you sin against God, don't hide your sin. Go to God. Tell God, I have sinned. God, I have done wrong. Forgive me. Yeah. Tell God, I have sinned. I have done wrong. I'm repenting right now. Forgive me. Yeah. Not that you have sinned and then you just keep that one aside. You're now dealing, you know, you're dealing with God like he's your mate. Yeah. He's your creator. So someone who is serving God in sincerity and in truth is someone that that acknowledges that there is nothing hidden from God. Someone that acknowledges that there is nothing about him or herself that is hidden in the sight of God. So when you are wrong, immediately you should acknowledge that as I'm wrong right now, God sees it right now. As I have just told some lies right now, God had it even right now as I have told lies. Even while you are thinking wrong thoughts in your heart, you should acknowledge immediately that as I'm thinking these wrong thoughts and imagination, God is seeing it immediately, which is true. Yeah, so someone that serves God in sincerity is someone that acknowledges that his life or her life is not hidden from God, that God is watching. And someone that acknowledges that every time he sins, that God is offended every time he sins. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. I'm going to repeat again. I said someone that serves God in sincerity and in truth is someone that agrees and acknowledges that God is offended, that God is hurt every time he or she commits sin, every time he or she do contrary to the scripture. Yeah. So when you have that kind of heart, it will be very easy for God to be drawn to you. Yeah. It's very easy for God to be drawn to you. I have said it in one of my teachings. Yeah, where God was talking to me that and he said that okay. Yeah, I believe you can hear me now. I said God was speaking to me some time ago, and he said, I am the one that determines the righteousness of my people, not Satan. Yeah, and he told me that when I was asking questions on or maybe I should say, I don't want to go into details. He told me that when he was talking, he was speaking against self-righteousness, which is a problem of many holiness churches, in quotes. You know, there are some churches that we call holiness churches. Yeah. These are the churches that they focus so much on dressing of Christian dressing, how Christians should appear physically, which we also do in this ministry. But they do not focus on so many other things that is very important. That was why the Lord was speaking against their mistakes in that conversation I was having with him. So he said that it is not Satan that determines the righteousness of his people. He said it is him that determines the righteousness of his people. And the reason why he said that is because some of us, we feel like, let me not tell lies, let me not commit fornication, let me not commit adultery, so that Satan will not have a legal ground over my life, so that Satan will not have access to oppress me. So let me not do this because of Satan. Let me not do that because of Satan. Because if I do this Satan way, it will open the door for Satan to have legal ground and to oppress me. Yeah. So that is the motive why so many people are not doing certain things. Yeah, that they consider sinful, which some of them are actually sinful, of course. Yeah, but the point is that God is saying that he told me and said every time a man sin, that heaven is first affected, that he is first affected before any other person. So meaning that our love for God should be the reason why we are not committing sin. Not because we don't want Satan to accuse us in the courtroom of heaven. Yeah. Not because we are afraid of demons or Satan, or because we don't want Satan to win over us. Our love for God should be the reason why we are not committing sin. I don't know if you get a point here. So not because sin opens doors for every time people sin, he said he is first offended. Like the action hurts him, just like you shook someone with a knife. You know, you carry a knife and shook someone. Yeah, that was the way he explained it to me. So every time people sin on earth, whether they are Christians, whether they are not Christians, whether they are believers or unbelievers. So every time people sin on earth, he is hurt immediately before any other person is hurt. Yeah. So, and that is why he wants us to fear him and not fear Satan or. Yeah, because he went further and told me that he said some people, he is the one that is dealing with them, not Satan. Yeah. He told me, he said the problems in the lives of some people, he said he is the one behind those problems. He is the one that put the problems in their lives because he wants to destroy them, because they have offended him to the highest limit, and the suffering today is his judgment that is happening to them, not Satan that is afflicting them. So I said it in the teaching. I published the teaching. I forgot the title I put on it. Maybe when I was talking on holiness churches. Yeah. I said it in that teaching that there is possible for you to have problem with God and not have problem. God is the one punishing you and not the devil. So, and if God is punishing you, then you are in trouble. I mean, if God is judging you, the only one that can save you is now against you. Then you are in great trouble. So people need to really fear God. Yeah. People need to really fear God. And one thing I know about God, which I fear a lot, is the fact that God is judging you and he is still smiling to you. I fear that a lot. God can be judging you and then he is still blessing you on some areas. Whereas you already concluded about your case that you can never make heaven. You already concluded. You already judged out of heaven. And yet, he's still blessing you. You pray, he will answer. But he has already judged you on some deeper level. Yeah, and he has already concluded that certain things can never happen in your life. Because you have offended him to the highest point without repenting. So you already concluded on certain things about your life that they can never happen. And yet, on some other things, he's still showing you he's still showing you his good face. He's still showing you that he's still giving you good things, but he has already judged you. That is one thing about God that I fear most. So the point is that let us serve God in sincerity and in truth. Yeah. Not in hypocrisy, not with a deceptive heart. Yeah, don't serve God because you're trying to impress apostle. Yeah, don't serve God because you're trying to impress me or impress any man of God. Don't serve God because you're trying to impress others. Serve God in sincerity and in truth. So whatever you do, be real about it. Be real about everything you do. Let your worship be real. Let it be that what you are when you are standing in front of him is what you really are when you are on your own. Yeah. May God help you to do this. Now, we are still on the point that says we show our love for God by obeying, following, and serving him. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, it says, fear the Lord and serve. Serve him. And then in John chapter 10, verse 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So what does it mean to follow God? What does it mean to follow God? To follow God means that you put aside your own wisdom. You put aside common sense, and then you decide to follow God's sense. You decide to follow God's wisdom. You put aside common sense. You put aside science, and you decide to follow God's sense and God's wisdom. So which requires faith. To follow God requires faith. Yeah, because the ways of God is not the ways of man. The ways of God is higher than the ways of man. The Bible says that as heaven is higher than the earth, so is God's thoughts higher than our thoughts, and so are his ways higher than our ways. So to follow God is to become a fool. To follow God is to become a madman. Is to become an idiot. I don't know other names people call people, those that are, that are not thinking like you other human beings are thinking. I don't know the names they call those people. People that think differently, completely differently from the way other reasonable people think. Yeah, those kind of people, people call them many names. Yeah, but if you follow God, You must be ready to be called names by people around you. You must be ready to be called a fool. Yeah, you must be ready to be called a madman and whatever they can call you. Why? Because except you put aside your own sense and your own wisdom and your own knowledge, you cannot follow God. It's not possible. Because God will not go in the direction you have set for him. God don't do that. He doesn't go in the direction you set for him. So the way you think that he will always go. Yeah, I'm speaking from experience. If you think God is going to come from the front door, he might surprise you and come from the back door. If you think God is going to come from the sky, he's going to come down from heaven. He might surprise you and come down from under the ground, under the earth. Yeah. So the ways of God is always different, if not always opposite of our own ways and thinking and imaginations. So to really follow God, you must be ready to put aside your human wisdom, your human sense knowledge. Yeah. To follow God. Because probably you might have been seeing it in the scripture when Jesus would tell the people, follow me. And you might not fully understand what follow me actually means. That is what follow me. It means just follow me. Just believe. Even if you don't know how it will happen, just believe. Yeah. It says, follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. John 15 verse 10 says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Yeah, so that is where obedience comes in. Keep his commandments means obey his words. And as you do that, if you keep his commandments, some time ago, not long, maybe some few weeks, no, maybe some few months ago, the Lord was speaking to me in a vision, or maybe I shouldn't call it a vision. In an encounter, he was speaking to me and he was showing me how the church has gone astray. He was showing me how Christians all over the world have gone astray. He was showing me how we made a U-turn. You know, a U-turn from his ways, and we start following the way of the world, and we start following our own ways. Yeah, and then it's of this thing that Christians have done. Yeah, he said what he has planned to do can no longer happen again. Yeah, he said because of this U-turn that Christians have done, they made a U-turn from following the Lord, from following his ways. He said what he has planned that he would do for the church, that he would do, you know, in the world using the church. Because God wants to use the church to correct many things in the world. He wants to use the church to change many things on earth. to, you know, to even correct government. God wants to use the church. Right government in nations. So he said, because of this U-turn, he said, I cannot do these things I had wanted to do. Yeah. And then he said, he was telling me that I was telling him that is there not a way out? And then he looked at me and said that it's too late. Yeah. You know, when someone look at you and, you know, face that that is too late, what he wants to do cannot happen again. Yeah, so I was like, I was very very sad. I was very sorrowful. That cannot be straightened. A dry fish that a dry fish that is curved and then dried and then cannot be straightened again. Yeah. So he said it's too late. But he now mentioned something, which is why I decided to talk about that encounter. He mentioned something. He said, if we can start all over again, that that there is hope if we can start all over again. Now, what it means by start all over again is that if we start preaching the gospel from the scratch, let's say every one of us now starts preaching the gospel from the basics again. And what are the basics of the gospel? Repent. Repentance. Those are the basics of the gospel. Forgive others. Love God. Love other people. Yeah. So it's if you can start all over again, like telling people to repent and give their lives to Christ again. Yeah, people that have backslidden, tell them to come back again. Yeah, he said, if you can start all over again, that there is hope. Yeah, so which means that the church is on a direction that is heading towards destruction. So starting all over again means that we come back to God and start building again. Start building again. Teachings about faith. We start again. Teachings about love. Teachings about holiness. Teachings about repentance. Teachings about consecration. Setting yourself apart from the world. Yeah. So he said, if we can start all over again, like you're starting. Like we are dealing with ourselves as someone that just newly gave his life to Christ. Yeah, teaches about Holy Ghost baptism, water baptism. So he said if we can start from the scratch again, from where the apostles started, the early apostles started in Acts of the Apostles in the Bible. He said if we can start all over again, that there is still hope that there is still hope. So that tells you how dangerous and deadly it is to deviate from the way of God, to deviate from the way of righteousness. So every single disobedience is a problem in the kingdom of God. It might look like, of course, if I disobey, I will just repent. I will just ask God to forgive me. It might look simple to you, But in the kingdom of God, it's not that simple. Every act of disobedience is a serious problem in heaven. I mean, serious problem in heaven. Yeah, and until you begin to see it that way, you can't go far with God. And if I'm making heaven, might be impossible. Yeah, so I'm going to just run through the remaining verses. Then I'm going to take the question. Yeah, the question that was sent. Now, other verses in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7. It says, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So meaning that we serve God even while we serve men. It says, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So God expects that you serve Him even while you are serving men. So when you are employed, be faithful to your boss, be obedient to him. Be committed to your duty. It is God that employed you. That is what that verse means. That obey God as though, serve people as though you are serving God. Yeah, that is what it means. So do service unto men as though you are doing it unto God. So this is not about the salary they are going to pay you. Yeah, because some people, they said, well, I'll just do everything the way I like. To pay me salary at the end of the month. Yeah, as a Christian, you don't do that. You don't do that. Yeah, you don't do that. So let it be beyond your salary. Let it be beyond your salary. Let it be that you are serving that person, that boss. You are serving your as though it is God that has employed you. And be faithful. So in so doing, you are serving God in so doing. Yeah. Another verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. It says, serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Humble ourselves before God, for He's watching us 24/7. He is watching us 24 hours in every day. So humble yourself every time. See yourself as before God. When you are sitting down, see yourself as that is how I live my life. I'm sitting down, I see myself as I'm sitting before God, and God is watching. Even as I'm teaching right now, I see myself as doing it before God. Yeah. So in so doing, you be careful of what you think and what you say and what you do. Yeah, because you wouldn't want to offend Him. You would not want to offend Him. If you love Him and if you don't want to face His judgment, you would not want to offend him. Yeah, so I'm going to stop here. Then we shall continue from here next class. And let me look at the question that is here. The question is that if someone is not hearing from God again, maybe because the person sinned against him, okay, what can you do for him to start speaking? Okay, and then another one is that why is it that some people, they are still living in sin? And some are still sinning against God, and God don't speak to them anymore. Okay. Another one is how can church affect government and its systems? All right. I'm answering questions, so I believe every one of you will benefit from the answers. So I think every one of you should stay on the line while I answer these questions. Yeah, so the first one is if you're at home and then you're not hearing from me anymore, because what can you do to start hearing from him again? Yeah, it's simple. The first thing is, what did you do? Yeah, sorry for the English. What did you do then that made him stop speaking to you? Yeah, so the simple thing is, don't do that thing again. That is it. So what you did then that made him stop, don't do it again. And then you might need to go through deliverance prayers. Yeah. Jesus told us of a man, or not really of a man. He said, when you cast out demons from a man, and that demon came back and discovered that the place is still very okay for him, so that demon will go and hire some other powerful demons, and the state of the person at that time will now the state of the person will now be worse, more worse than it were. You sin against God. That time when you went into sin, and you start embracing worldliness. That time, just that few time, could have brought in a lot of devils and a lot of captivities into your life. So that is why sometimes you also need to go through deliverance process and begin to pray for deliverance from every captivity of darkness, every darkness that have shut down your spiritual connection with God. Yeah, every darkness that is standing against your spiritual growth and knowledge of God. So you need to pray for deliverance in that area as well. And then also you might need to now take God serious more than before. Focus on things that will help you to grow spiritually. Bible study, meditation, prayers, fasting, fellowshipping with other brethren, and all of that. Yeah. So I hope that answer your question. And then another question that says, why is it that some people still living in sin and God still speaking to them? And then some other people are living in sin and God don't speak to them anymore. But I think if someone go into sin and God stops speaking to him because he went into sin, I think God really loved that person. Yeah, because immediately that person will quickly repent and start seeking God again. Yeah, but if there's someone that is living in sin and God is still speaking to him, I think that person is in great trouble. Yeah. I think that person is in serious trouble. Yeah, and that is if it is God and is still speaking to him. You know, remember I mentioned it in the teaching that there are all kind of gods. So some demons, they can speak like God, and you won't be able to know the difference between them, between their voice and the voice of God. But let's say it is still God that is speaking to that person, then that person is in trouble, because it means that person is not likely to make heaven. If God have stopped correcting that person, if God doesn't show him his errors anymore, if God is not talking about the wrong things he's doing, and God is just still speaking to him nice things, I think that person has been doomed for hellfire. Yeah. That's what I believe. Yeah. So let me look at the last question. It says, how can church affect governments and its systems? Yeah. The church can affect government and its system by embracing the will of God and enforcing it in the earth. And enforcing it by enforcing it means that we stick to the will of God and we are not willing to compromise. Yeah, that's what it means to enforce the will of God. Meaning that everywhere Christians are, we are doing the will of God. Whether you are in the schools, you are in the hospital, everywhere you are doing the will of God. You are obeying the scriptures. You are obeying the Bible. Yeah, you are not following the worldly trend. So in so doing, we are enforcing the system of heaven upon the earth. If Christians can live the life of the kingdom of God on earth, that is how we would change the governments of nations. And we have examples in the Bible. Yeah, an example is with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did not allow the system of the world at that time to influence them negatively. They did not allow the system of the world at that time to control them. They stick to righteousness. They stood their ground. to honor God and to obey God. And in so doing, that act of obedience began to change the Babylonian government. And then the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the God of Daniel begin to become famous in a country and in a world that is completely against God. Their God begins to overpower the God of the land because they stood their ground on righteousness. And they teach their children to do the same. And everywhere they go, they are pleasing God. So if we can live the lifestyle of heaven on earth, we will change the government automatically. And every prayer we pray will be answered. If we pray, if we say, God, take over the government, God will take over the government. Because there are many people that's living for God. So the more the number of people living for God, the more the government of heaven will overthrow the government of this earth. But the lesser the number of people living for God, living for Christ, the more the government of this world will prevail over the government of God in the earth. So it's all about we that are representing Christ. If we want God's government to overthrow the governments of the world, then we have to live the life of Christ. We have to stop following the ways of the world. We have to stop thinking like the people of the world. We have to stop acting, behaving like the people of the world. That is how we overthrow. And any position we find ourselves, we do it the way Jesus would have done it. So in so doing, the government of the world will be overthrown. Government of God. And of course, prayers is also involved. Intercession is also involved. But the main thing, or the major thing, is the life we live. Yeah, that is how to overthrow the governments and the systems of this world. By living the life of the kingdom of God on earth. Yeah, so I believe I've answered your questions. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you for this teaching class. Thank you for the things you have exposed to us. And thank you because as we obey these truths, we shall see our lives transformed. We shall experience your transforming power. Thank you, Father. Lord, I ask that everyone who have heard this teaching, bless them, Father, in the name of Jesus. I ask that you replace their weaknesses with your strength. I ask that those that are sincere in their work with you, that you favor them and increase your grace in their lives. Thank you, Father, because I know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Yeah, we have to stop here. But if you think my answer to your questions has raised up other questions, you can contact me privately. Remain blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.